It's as if we've wandered the desert, travelers without a home, together yet alone in this uncertainty. An uncommon time, unexpected, undefined, binds us, unites us, does not divide us, but reminds us of who we are. A body, not a building, unrelenting, unyielding, persevering, revealing the faithfulness of God. Maybe this virus has started a fire inside us, ignited us, inspired us to live louder, love harder, care deeper. 6 feet, 6 miles, or a world apart. Our calling remains the same, for we are the body of Christ.
Good morning, body of Christ. We're so glad that you're in the house today, and we're looking forward to a great day here at Oak Creek Assembly of God. 8 o'clock service this morning, great time together. 10:30, this service, we have a special service that is in Spanish taking place at 1 o'clock, and then at 6 o'clock, another service. The outdoor service, don't miss out. It's going to be an outstanding service. It's going to be a time of just reaching out and blessing the Lord in song and word, and it's going to be a great time, followed up by communion, so don't miss out. Now, let me also just remind you that, you know, this team that is behind me and some of the others, you know, over the past 15 weeks now, they have been so faithfully bringing to you the word through the internet, over the Facebook pages, and there's so many that have made it possible, and they have been so faithful. We want to say thank you to all of them. Will you help me to do that? They have labored behind the scenes, and they have brought you messages on Wednesday and various times throughout the week. They've given you opportunities to join in and times of prayer, and so it's been a great time. And this morning now, we're going to do something a little different from what we normally do. If you're looking for a message, the message will be tonight. And that sermon, if you want to call it that, will be this evening. And that will be at our outdoor service just before we have communion together. However, this morning, I've really felt the Spirit of the Lord wanting us to spend a little bit of time talking about lessons from the lockdown. What have we learned over these past weeks? Times when we've been separated, some of us from fellow employees at the job place. We've been separated from family and, you know, just a lot of separation. And what are some of the things we've learned? We've not been able to be together. There was 10 weeks, 2.5 months that we were not able to meet like this in person. And you know, I believe that God spoke into our lives, did some things during these moments that would be good for us to carry into the future. And so we're going to talk about for this morning, for a little bit. We've got our pastoral team. Some have already been in the first service. Others will be at the 1 o'clock Spanish service. But nonetheless, we're going to hear from each one of them today. And some of you have the opportunity of interacting with each one of these in various roles, but I'd like for you this morning to get to know them a little bit better and get to know some of the challenges that they've overcome during this season, and I believe it'll help all of us as we relate together. So we're going to start off here with Pastor Armin and Joy. If you just kind of make your way down this way, here's what I'd like for them to do. Some friends probably aren't familiar with what your role is here at the church. I'd like for you to let them know where you live, and I want you to share with who with you was in the lockdown, all right?
Okay. So my name is Armin Colon. I'm the International Ministries Pastor here at the church. I oversee the Spanish ministries or the bilingual ministries like Impacto. And we live in West Allis in a house, and I was locked up with this beautiful lady right here. Help me earn some brownie points here. Come on. and we were left with our two dogs.
What size dogs are they?
We have Onyx, who's a flat coat retriever. He's about 90 pounds. And then we have Asher, who's a lab, and he's about 75 pounds.
So that's 165 pounds of dog. Last time I saw those dogs, they were big enough to put saddles on and ride. And so you guys did lockdown together. Great. Welcome. Thank you for being part of this morning. The Wootons, yes.
I'm Dan. This is my wife, Mandy, and we are the worship pastors here at the church. And then Mandy's also involved with the girls' ministry and choir and several other things. So we were locked down in Greenfield, Wisconsin. We have four kids. Grayson is 10, Ryder is 9, Paisley is 6, and Miles is 4. So we had plenty of people.
Sounds fun. Sherry, tell us a little bit about... There you go. All right, over here.
So my name is Tom, and this is my wife, Jennifer, and I'm the missions, groups, and Life Together pastor here at the church.
And my name is Jennifer, and I'm married to Tom.
True.
We celebrated our 11th anniversary yesterday. And we were locked down in Greendale in a house where there was probably not a lot of social distancing with our other four children. We have Savannah, who is 8, Dahlia, who is 6, Tucker, who is 3, and Elsa, who is almost 8 months.
Pastor Tyler. Now, you need to know, Pastor Tyler, during the lockup, he officially received his credentials with the Assemblies of God. And for all of the ladies in the house that are not married, he is single as well.
Just imagine
and a mighty good catch, all right?
A second chair here.
All right.
Feel free to apply today. Thanks.
Just trying to help.
I appreciate it. So I have an apartment in Oak Creek, so I spent some time there. And then, if you know Pastor Dan and Mandy, they're like my second family, and so I spent some time there. And then I have family that lives probably like an hour and a half north of here, and so I would break my quarantine and sneak up that way. And so that's where I spent my time.
Amen. Good. And Sherry.
Okay. So we live a mile south of here in a house, and it's just Jerry and me. We don't have any pets, but... On Fridays and Saturday, I watch two of our grandchildren, so they were part of it, and I work with our children. So I just made the decision to include all of us in our lockdown.
Now, we do not have any official, you know, dog or cat or birds or whatever. However, there was a fox, a red fox, that came and dug under my shed and had four little kits, all right? And so they'd be out bouncing around, and we have been in a battle for the last 3 months. And I want you to know, I won. Oh, that we did nothing mean to them. All right, come on. All you tree hugger, dog, cat lovers, bird lovers. But they would... Yeah, you know, they say they're smart as a fox. Well, these foxes are really smart. And so we've been having kind of a, who's going to live in my yard, all right? And so far, I've won. And my neighbor, which has a shed almost identical to mine, now has four little kits under hers. And it's fun to watch from a distance. All right. You know, during this time, we've had, you know, some good moments, some ups, downs, you know, emotionally, spiritually, I'm sure. You know, emotions go up and down when you're locked in for the 10 weeks. And I would like to just hear some of the highs and lows. Maurice, would you start us out, please?
So I think that we all would want to set the table by saying what we endured is nothing compared to what some families went through during this time. We know that in our church family, that there were families that you were touched very personally by the illness. Maybe you had someone who's hospitalized or even lost their life to COVID-19. And while we had some trying moments, we want to just say up front that nothing that we went through would be close to that. And we've been praying with you and for you, and we know that this has been not an easy time for many of the families in our church in that way. We were asked to come up with like one specific moment that was a difficult time. And Jennifer said, well, it seemed like we lived the same day over and over again for 10 weeks. Have you been wearing those pajamas all week?
I think Tucker sometime. I think Dahlia was wearing the same shirt for like 4 or 5, maybe 6 or 7 days. One time.
And the greatest joy moment was we received a backyard play set in a kit.
Before they went all out of stock.
And we completed it.
We did.
And it hasn't fallen apart yet.
It was a marriage teamwork.
Yeah.
Pastor Tyler.
Yeah, so I had a close family friend who passed away on Easter Sunday, and so that was definitely the low point of not being able to go see them and be around them. But even through the difficulty of that, I just saw God be faithful to me and to them, and just find ways to reach out and get some healing through that. So it was a low point, but God moved through it nonetheless. My high point sounds like a low point, but I promise it's a high point for me. You're in the middle of lockdown and there's nothing to do, right? And so as soon as you hear of anything to do, you get really excited to go do it. And so there's a few of us on staff, I won't name the place because of that, but there's a few of us on staff who went out to this drive-through zoo experience, and we got there, and it turned out about half the animals were like plastic stuffed animals, which was really confusing. And so it was horrible, but it was a memorable experience that I will never forget, just because the moment, being in that moment and being around people you love, it was a fun day.
I was with, you guys were somewhere ahead of us out there in the this drive-through zoo, and it took like, 3 hours to get through there at least? I was singing the song, Let My People Go, before we got to the end, I tell you. And poor Pastor John, he had little Luke in the car, and Luke wanted out. How many parents can he relate? All right, I've had enough of this after 3 hours. And it's fun to be part of that experience with you that day, just to be able to share the commiseration of it. All right. Sherry.
Well, one more story about that drive-through zoo when we got to the end. I mean, once you were in the line, there was no way out. So I was picturing some of the more hyper people on staff than what we are, thinking, they've got to be going crazy right now. And when we got to the end, I said to our son-in-law, Pastor Josh, well, what did you like the best? He said, oh, I like that lion on the picnic table. I said, you know that wasn't real, right? So for me, anything I went through was trivial compared to what a lot of other people went through. I really like that story writing that I saw during this time that said, you know, we're not all in the same boat. We're all in the same storm, but we're in different, very different boats. And my boat was fine. But nonetheless, I struggled with depression throughout this. I just felt like there was a very depressive spirit connected with this whole thing. And a especially bad day was April 16th when this Safer at Home order, which we had all been, be pretty careful of during the month of April, because by the end of April, then we thought it would be done with. But on April 16th here in Wisconsin, it was extended to be in effect till May 26th. And when that happened, I just really felt very down and like, oh, this is never going to end. I don't see any end game for this. So that was a bad day for me.
Wootens.
So my low point is when we went through this drive-through zoo. Good memories. So I finished a certification in December to be a school counselor with with Wisconsin. And yeah, I'm really excited. So I was really excited to get out there and help students to have better lives, you know, and they can maybe meet Jesus through that. And I got hired, and I was supposed to start in April, and I got an email from MPS saying, congratulations, you're hired. All we need you to do is come in and sign these documents and bring this, this, and this with you. And then the next day, the school shut down. So a goal that I had been working for a long time was kind of snatched out from under me. Yeah, so that was my really low point.
I'll describe one of my highs, and my kids will disagree with this. One of my highs has been piano lessons. So I made an attempt maybe 2 years ago to start teaching my two older boys piano, and it just failed miserably, and it lasted about 2 weeks. And we just get busy. We just get busy. Church is busy. Our lives are busy. We're very social people, and so if we have a free night in the week, we're very tempted to just go, who can we invite over? And it just everything gets full really fast. And so, but I have this like dad fear in the back of my head that one day my kids are going to grow up with a worship pastor as their dad and not know how to sing or play anything. And so the first day, the first week of shutdown, we restarted piano lessons in our home. And so I've got my older three that have now had 12 weeks of piano lessons, and it's going well. It just makes me feel like we're winning in that category.
Good.
If I had to pick one moment, that would have been like the lowest point. It actually was the first day of the lockdown order that they had, because that day I needed to stop at the store to pick something up, and I had been at work all day. I had no idea what everyone else had seen on the news or anything, and I walk in there, and most of the shelves were stripped. Everyone was in complete panic mode.
No toilet paper?
There was no toilet. We had toilet paper at home, though. But it was just that feeling of seeing all this fear and panic all around us and kind of not knowing what to expect in the days ahead.
So I think that our highest moment was also that first day, because we felt like God told me, start praying online in Spanish. And I thought, well, I'm going to do it. I don't know who's going to connect to watch this thing, and we'll do it for a couple of days and that'll be it. Well, we did it the first day and like 60 people connected to pray. And it was just inspiring to see people that in the middle of everything that was going on, that were grabbing a hold of Jesus and saying, you know, we're safe in him and we're secure in him and we're keeping our faith. So that thing that was supposed to last a couple of days, we've been doing it for like 3 months in a row now.
Amen. Everything goes better with prayer, doesn't it? Now, how many of you tried either a new recipe? Let me see your hand. Wave them at me. Tried something new. How many learned something new during this time of lockdown? Yeah, you learned you didn't like it, probably. All right. But we all learned something. Let's find out, you know, some of the things that maybe we tried, something new, a new experience. Pastor Tom.
So we've taken a lot of walks, and we found that there are some trails that are really very close to our house that we didn't even really pay attention to. Like there's a waterfall in Whitnall Park. Has anyone been to the waterfall in Whitnall Park? They have a waterfall. You've been there? It's cool. Who knew? And there's a trail that goes up the backside of the ski hill at the ridge that you can go all the way. The rock, yeah. You know, all up to the top of the rock and look out over the area. So that's been cool to check out those new things.
I started guitar. So I've been doing that for these past weeks. So give it a few more weeks and stay tuned.
It came out every Friday we have prayer together. And we spend an hour just walking in the sanctuary on Fridays. And pretty soon, he comes out through the back here carrying a guitar and sat down. I thought, what's he going to do with that thing? I haven't seen him play it before. And he sat down and started playing beautifully. That's great, man. You learned that during lockdown?
Yeah, I had done a little bit before, but then getting better. So.
Well, I'll benefit from it later. Isn't that good? Sherry.
Well, I did a few jigsaw puzzles, which I had never done. But most of my new things were done in the kitchen. I learned to make crepes, and I started a Friday fish fry at our house since we couldn't go out for that. I made many more recipes than I have in the last 10 years, and I have the COVID 10 to show for it.
I found us in a new season of parenting where we've had little ones. They're all about 2 years close together in age. And so for a while there, it was just kind of up to our eyeballs in little things. But this season was a new season of parenting because all of a sudden I found out my kids were bigger and older, and I'm able to sit down and play a really complicated board game with my kids now. And we had fun doing it, and that was a fun new experience for us.
One thing that I learned to do new, I never thought I would do it because I'm scared of doing things like that, but I dyed my own hair and it wasn't bad.
Looks great.
Now, how many needed a haircut at some time over the 2.5 months? That was a experience, wasn't it? I remember going out and buying a clippers because I couldn't get in to see a barber like all of you, and I brought it home and I handed it to Sherry. I said, "Have you ever used one of these?" She said, "No, I've never had one in my hand." I said, "Well, you're about to." And she held it, and as she started coming at me with it, I looked at that thing, and suddenly in my mind it became a guillotine rather than a, you know, clipper. But she learned how to cut hair and how to keep me out of the doghouse and all of that. So everyone tried something new. Some things we'll be happy to get back to our regular barbers, you know, in the future. But I think she does a pretty good job, don't you? All right, okay. Now let's switch gears a little bit. What do you feel like God spoken to your heart during this time? What is it that you felt that God was speaking to you about during this time? Any one of you can just kind of start it out. Mandy? Yeah.
I felt at the beginning of this call to pruning, that God wanted to prune off some of the dead branches off of my life, or even the branches that looked really pretty and leafy but weren't producing any fruit. And it just was a theme throughout the whole season, and it's still a theme in my life, unfortunately. I think I need about 50 more years of COVID quarantine to overcome some stuff. But God's grace and sufficiency in our weakness was a big theme in my life.
Amen. Good.
One thing that I felt like I really learned through all of this was learning to just let go. You know, we all have plans, schedules, things that we know how they're supposed to go, and all of that went out the window. So then having to just step back and remember that God knew this was going to happen. He already had a plan of how we were going to get to the other side of it. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow and the day after that. And so just learning to trust and just ask him, what should I do now? Or what's the next step? And learning to just listen to what he had to say in response.
Right from the start, I felt like God had a message for the people of planet Earth, for the believer and the unbeliever. And for the believer, it was to get ready, make sure that you are ready to meet him. And for the unbeliever, it was to turn their attention to him, to acknowledge him, to ask for him for help, to follow him. For me, as a specific person, though, when we started the lockdown, we were in the portion of the one-year Bible reading where the Israelites are in the wilderness. And if you remember how whenever they would complain, God hated that, and I really felt that for me personally, no matter what happened throughout this time, my personal assignment was not to complain and not to speak against any leaders, whether local, whether national, whether I voted for them, didn't vote for them, that was my assignment. And I didn't always, wasn't always successful, but that was my goal and still is my goal.
I think for me, it was the the value of quiet. That before this, there's so many things to do, things to listen to, things to watch, and I'm not a person who likes silence. And so, kind of having all of that stripped away forced me into creating some way better habits, revolving that into value the times of the quiet when God can speak.
I'd say a season of refining, but I think that it got to a point, maybe you can agree, that there was so much busyness that we didn't even have time to think about, like, is what we're signing up for, is it worthwhile, is it beneficial? And just to have everything put on pause and to say, when and how we re-engage, let's make sure we're re-engaging in what truly is most important. And it was affirmed to us just how important our family is and being with our family.
I think we learned, all of us together, how quickly we can lose things that we held very dear to us. When I was a youth in the youth department of the church that I grew up in out in South Dakota, there was an evening we were in a service, and it was unannounced to us what was going to take place. And so we had our Bibles, and we were all sitting there, and our youth leader, we did not have a youth pastor, we're not blessed to have one at that time. But the service was going on, and then in through the back doors, they had planned it. Now you have to remember, I was raised during the height of the Cold War, and there was always this tension between the United States and Russia especially, and there was fear of atomic, you know, retaliation. I wasn't the smartest kid in the classroom, but I could tell you this, when they said, when there's an atomic bomb dropping, get under your desk. And I thought, under my desk is not going to be much good when the whole town is gone, you know? And so it was during the height of the Cold War, and all this tension was going on. And bursting through the back doors of this youth service, they came in dressed in military garb, guns in hand, arrested our youth director, took all of our Bibles, and closed the doors and told everybody to get out of there. Now, it had all been staged. It had been planned to teach us, you know, what could or might ever happen. Well, it certainly didn't play out that way with COVID-19 and the shutting down of the nation. However, we did quickly realize how things can be taken from you. The opportunity of coming to God's house. I don't know about you, but let me tell you, that broke my heart to come into this place. Stand in a sanctuary that seats 2,500 people. And there would be 26 of us all total. That's what it would take to do all the live streaming with worship teams and technical people and, you know, sound and lights and all that are necessary. 26 persons in a room that seats 2,500. I realize how quickly something that I value so highly can be taken from us. And for others of you, you might say, well, it was, you know, sports, in addition to, you know, I don't detract that from your wanting to be in God's house, but, you know, all the things in life just suddenly can be taken from us. I look at this moment like it was a heavenly timeout, that God was simply saying, I want you to go and get in touch with yourself. I want you to decipher your own heart. Where are you at yourself? Secondly, it was a time to reconnect or to connect with God. A moment that many of us will probably never have again, where all the distractions of life, sports were set aside, outdoor sports, indoor sports, gatherings like this, theaters shut down, restaurants shut down. And suddenly there was time. You know, we often say, I'm so busy, I don't even have time to think. God gave us that moment. And I think that we ought to value that moment forever. And what God whispered into our hearts, I think we ought to keep with us for all of our days. I'd love to hear a scripture verse that maybe God put into your life during that time that was especially meaningful. Pastor Armin, if we could start with you.
I think for us it was Psalm 36, verse 23. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. And I think that the fact that at some point during this lockdown, we all stumble, that we stumble into an unexpected situation, we stumble in the way that we were trying to handle it, but that through all of that, we saw the hand of God. We saw God coming in and encouraging us and blessing us and blessing us through other people. And it was just that sense that even in the strangest of times, God was there with us, not letting us fall.
Reading from Psalm 91:4, it says, "And under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plagues that destroy at midday. 1,000 may fall, 10,000, but it will not come near you."
You know, we can fear for ourselves, our personal selves, but then it comes to our children and our grandchildren, and that's where fear can really grip your heart and your thoughts. And in one of those moments, we just had this realization of, okay, if death comes, what happens? Heaven. Like, we have hope in Jesus that God will walk with us every step of the way and cover our young ones and ourselves with his wings.
Of course, for me, Romans 8:28 is just part of my being after serving the Lord for 53 years, that I know that no matter what happens, God can turn that to good. But another verse that meant a lot to me was just, "Well done, good and faithful servant, come and share your master's happiness." At this point in my life, I'm very concerned about finishing well. And the thing that scares me more than any other thing is just being complacent. And this kind of knocked the complacency out of me.
I think the passage that God put in my heart pretty early is in Mark 4, and it's the passage where Jesus is calming the storm with his disciples. And the idea that God pointed out to me through that is that the reason the disciples fared so well and were saved so fast in that is because Jesus was already there in the boat with them. And so we've all just come out of this crazy storm. And there's going to be more storms to come in life, and to draw close enough to God before, when you've got the time to do it, is so crucial, because that's when all you've got to do is turn to your side and ask for help, and he's right there. So
ours is out of Habakkuk 1 verse 5. "The Lord replied, look around at the nations, look and be amazed, for I am doing something in your own day, something you wouldn't believe even if someone told you about."
Yeah, so that verse, Habakkuk, is saying, "God, why aren't you moving? Where are you, God?" And God responds, "If I told you what was going to happen, you would not believe it." And then things kind of took a different turn in that period of history. But can you imagine on January 1, if someone came up to you and said, "Here's what's going to happen," you would have said, "You are crazy. There's no way that all that stuff would be shut down. There's no way the churches would be closed for 10 weeks. There's no way that all summer festivals in Milwaukee are going to be canceled. There's no way that can happen." God says, "If I told you what's going to happen, you wouldn't even believe it." I had a friend say to me a couple weeks ago, "Sometimes God just enters in and totally disrupts everything to remind us that he is the one who's in charge."
Such a wonderful promise in the book of Isaiah. "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When you walk through the deep waters, they will not drown you. When you go through the fires of affliction, they will not burn you. For I am the Lord your God." I am so grateful that we can live our lives above fear, We can live our lives knowing that we are so important that God calls us by name. Some of you know I was raised in a family of 11 children. And oftentimes my father would go through the whole family tree before he'd get our names right. And I have a brother, Larry, who is married to a Terry. When you get together with Jerry and Sherry and Larry and Terry, I'm just saying it could be confusing. And at times it was. But God never messes up on our name. He calls you by name. And you know, more importantly than just that, He says, "You are mine. You're the apple of God's eye," according to Scripture. And He loves you, cares for you. He's got a plan for your life, one that is eternal. Will you bow your heads for a moment, Father? Lord, this morning we're so grateful that You love us so much that You call us out by name. Lord, we're so glad that when we go through the waters, they may be deep and seemingly over our head, and we get tired of treading water and not sure we can make it, You say, "Fear not." When the fires of affliction surround us, Lord, again You say, "You're the Lord our God. We need not fear." Lord, I pray that Your people would find, Lord, great peace during this time of turmoil, not only because of COVID, but because of all the things that are happening in our cities, and not only here, but Lord, this is probably the first time in world history when nearly every nation, 160-some nations, all at one time were shut down. We've experienced what we've experienced here with nations around the world. Lord, we're so glad. Nothing escapes Your knowledge. You know what's transpiring. And I just pray, Lord, for each one in the house today and those that are joining us online. I pray, Lord, that the peace of God that passeth all human understanding will keep their hearts and their minds. Lord, I pray where fear is, in one way or another, begin to try to just rob them of their joy. I pray that the joy of the Lord will be their strength. I pray, Lord, as we prayed throughout this entire season, Lord, that they would prosper and be in health, even as their soul doth prosper. I pray, Lord, for prosperity, body, soul, and spirit. Lord, whatever is going on in the world round about, I pray that Your people would be the head and not the tail, that they would be living examples of the blessing of the Lord. I pray protection over each one, over their body, over their mind, over their soul. Father, I pray Your blessing upon each one. And Lord, if there's any in the house or joining us online at this moment that has never made that decision saying, "Jesus, I want You to be the Lord of my life," I pray, Lord, that they would make that decision right now by simply saying, "Jesus, I've had enough of trying to do this on my own. Why would I even want to try any longer, knowing that You love me, You care about me, and You've got a plan for my life that is a good one, that's not only for the 30, 40, 60, 100 years here in this world, but for all of eternity. So I surrender to You. I give You my heart, my life, my past, present, and future. It's all to be found in You." Thank You, Lord, for the way You respond to every heart that would call out to You in honesty. Pray, Lord, now Your blessing. Lord, as we close out just exalting You for the next few moments, I pray, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would just swoop down on us. Bring peace where there needs to be peace. Healing of emotions where there needs to be healing of emotions. Lord, I pray that salvation would be so real, it would be the joy that we sing about. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.